Titled, my message is Death Grip on Life. You may have heard that term before when referring to death grip, which refers to having a really tight hold on something. A great example of this would be holding on to your cell phone, like this here, when taking a picture or a video at extreme heights, and you hold on to it extremely tight for the fear of dropping it. It's different when you're standing on the ground, you're taking a picture. You don't feel as, you know, that's going to be that much of a danger for you to drop it. But when you are really high in the air, or it could be anything, you hold on a lot tighter, don't you? Have you ever tried to take a video on a roller coaster? Height isn't the only issue with that one, but wind is as well. Now, I've tried doing that, and yes, you are holding on to that phone really tightly. Of course, then you question yourself, why am I doing this in the first place? That was a crazy idea, but you're holding on to it really tight, and you don't want to let it go. An example, personal example of, we had the Feast site in Germany, and the hotel where we have the site at, there's an amusement park that's right next to it. And there is a ride there, a swing ride, which is around 200 feet high. And you're sitting, you're on the ground, you're taking pictures, and like, oh, you know what? That's going to be really cool going all the way to the top and taking out the phone and taking a nice panoramic view of the area from that height. Well, you go up to the top, you start going higher and higher and higher. Your hands start getting sweaty, which is even more of a challenge, holding onto your phone. And then you get to the very top and you want to take a video. And I tell you, I was holding on to that phone, did not want to drop it, trying to take this video, and already is challenging enough trying to reach it out there and trying to do this, you know, panoramic view from up there, which at that point I thought, okay, this was a stupid idea because now I can't even put my phone in my pocket because you're strapped in, so you can't reach your pocket, so you have to hold on to it the whole time. Not to mention trying to hold on to your safety belts, whatever it is you're hooked up to. So it is challenging. Didn't think about the fact that your palms are sweaty as well, making it even more challenging. But even taking a picture on a high bridge overlooking the horizon, you know, you may take it out there like that. I mean, you see a lot of people doing that or whatever. When it comes to heights, that's typically a type of reaction that you would get when it comes to holding on to something. Of course, you may feel more secure taking a photo with an actual camera with a strap around your neck, as used to be the case before cell phones, for added security in case you inadvertently let it go. But that's not the case with a cell phone. In today's society, cell phones are high priority. And not just for the sake of taking pictures, but we have our lives pretty much on these devices with all of our information stored on it. And if we ever misplace it or we forget it, it feels like a part of us is missing and we go crazy looking for it. Have you left your house one day and forgot your cell phone or wherever you may have been going, and you're like looking frantically around for it, or if you missed it, placed it or whatever for a day? That day seems really long when you can't find a cell phone, because then you really think about how dependable we are on these. This is a norm where everyone has a cell phone today, and it's the convenience of being able to access anything and pretty much do anything on this device that adds to the appeal, that adds to the necessity. It's like having a mini computer in your hand. You can pretty much do everything a computer can do, or it's at least getting to that point, where soon computers may just be completely misplaced. But even when it comes to what we're doing here in the church, you know, we're thinking of new ways to spread the word. And since mobile devices have such an increase, more so than desktop computers, that's something to keep in mind too. How do we spread the word? Well, this was not even the case 10 years ago. Not everybody had a cell phone. And it was easier to cope in life without having one because not everyone had a cell phone. And I sometimes wish we could go back in time where we didn't have to rely on these devices for making simple plans, for example, using our mouths face-to-face to communicate rather than sending a text message. For example, my wife and I were talking about this, and we said, what did we do when we were back in school? When we were back in elementary school, high school, whatever it may be, how did we make plans? How did we survive? How did we make plans with friends to meet up after school? It was mouth to mouth. In the morning, it's like, okay, let's meet at a certain time. And that's where we went. It wasn't a problem. But that's almost impossible today if we don't have a cell phone and you're trying to communicate. What's interesting is that the Bible doesn't even talk about these specific technological devices as we see today, like phones and computers. You don't see that mentioned by name like that in the Bible. But it does give an idea of what the future holds with symbolic references, alluding to technology that didn't exist at that time. The Bible was written, for example, like modern weapons and military equipment, which describes helicopters as locusts and tanks as scorpions, which causes great torment, as we read about in Revelation 9, something that's going to be coming in the future. But the Bible was written thousands of years ago, alluding to these references. And we also see scriptures pointing out when the whole world is going to see what is happening. How is that possible? How will the whole world see what is happening at one spot? If we look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we see one glimpse, one idea of how this will happen. The whole world is going to see Christ returning in the clouds. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So, when we talked about this before, how is it possible that everyone will see him? And we see this in the movies, right? Mobile devices, everybody's taking a video, sharing it everywhere, live streaming, all that. That type of technology, which didn't exist then. Here's an idea of how that could happen. Also, the whole world's going to see the two witnesses killed and their bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem, as we read about in Revelation 11, verse 9. Revelation 11, verse 9, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. So with today's technology, this is how the whole world will be able to witness this soon. Or this, but soon after, all this technology, though, will be considered useless. As worldwide destruction is prophesied to occur during the Great Tribulation, and obviously without power, cell phones and computers and everything the world depends on now will be futile. Just example, look at what we see when we have an incident happen just in one part of the world, but then everything is affected. All planes are grounded, let's say, or there's a power outage. It doesn't take much for that to happen. And of course, we know what's going to happen in the future and how terrible things are going to get. But what is important for us now is what we need to hold on to tightly, spiritually speaking, making sure that we don't lose it and have it slip away out of our hands. Just like that death grip we have on our devices in the analogy I talked about earlier. Making sure that we don't lose it. So what is it that we need to hold on to, tight to? Notice Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We need to hold on tight, holding fast to what we have. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Test all things. Now, we are always being tested. We may not need to ourselves test something, but we are always being tested on everything we do in our lives. And it is always dependent on us, how we react to every situation we are in. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. So even the tests that we go through can also be for good reason, because something good usually comes out of this. And the tests that we continue to go through adds to our experience of how we handle the situation. And it gets better and better as things go on. Now, of course, it's not always easy right then when the test happens or when the trial we go through. But how we come out of it is what's important. How we keep holding on to what we know, which is good. And if we continue to do that, then this is what God promises us in Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11. Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, patience is what we all go through. It's what we have to do. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We want protection from what's coming, then this is what we have to do. For he says, continues verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. That is what we need to hold on to. We are to take firm hold of instruction, as Proverbs 4:13 tells us. Take firm hold of what we have learned, what God has taught us, and what he expects of us to keep until the end, and don't let it go. Hold on tight to your crown, for this is your life.